You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, Pelicans Insider, editor of LockedOnPelicans.com, and credential member of the media, here in what's kind of an emergency edition of Locked On Pelicans. Anthony Davis yesterday was on The Jump with Rachel Nichols and gave a pretty maybe candid interview. I don't know what you'd call it, but a bit of an odd interview that kind of went all over the place. So we're going to break this interview down and we're going to spend the entirety of the episode with that. There is some news, which I'll mention briefly during the reset coming up in a little bit. We're going to talk about that on tomorrow's podcast, make it a little bit easier to devote some time to that and to focus on it a little bit more. Could be good, could be bad, that news, depending on how things shake out. But I got two guests on for you today. We're going with the Locked On Pelicans family. Jason Quigley to break down part of the interview, and then Luis Corzo to break down the second part of the interview. So we're going to cover everything regarding what Anthony Davis said and what it means for the Pelicans. So strap on in, because we've got a jam-packed edition here of Locked On Pelicans. And joining me now on Locked On Pelicans, I've got Jason Quigley at Jason Quigs on Twitter, writer with me over at LockedOnPelicans.com. Jason, first, before we kind of break down this like weird-ish interview and kind of an emergency day after podcast, thanks for joining.
Hey, well, thanks for having me back. I'm glad to be here. You know, we pretty much anything happens about the Pelicans, we got to talk about it. But at least this is kind of, you know, this is something to talk about.
Yeah, it's newsworthy, yeah, when the player gives the best, or your best player gives an interview, particularly one that does have some like worthwhile sound bits that when you put them in the grand context of things maybe aren't so bad, but when you hear them by themselves really aren't too good. So for those who haven't heard or seen it, watched it, whatever, Anthony Davis was on The Jump with Rachel Nichols and basically said, "It makes you think when former players say they waited too long to request a trade." And he said, you know, it makes you think, I'm not going to lie. It makes you think because you wonder if you're following in that same path. But then again, you'd be like, this could be our year. You don't know. So you just got to take it year by year and just see where this team is going, what direction they want to go to, and just see where their head is. So Jason, on the surface of this, just based off this quote alone of basically him saying, you know, it makes you think when players wait too long to request a trade, are you worried?
I mean, I'm probably more worried about normal news than most Pelicans fans, but especially this is, you know, this isn't the first time we've heard something like this from Anthony Davis earlier in the year when he had the interview with ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. He pretty much echoed that same kind of sentiment of, oh, you know, if I really want to win and I'm wondering if I can do it here. And it's basically the same thing here. It's not really a new message, but it is like a little bit concerning with the message that, oh, other stars have wondered if they, you know, took too long to demand a trade or request a trade or whatever and get to a winning situation. But I think, you know, it's different how he wants to win, but he thinks he might be able to do it here. Yeah. So I'm concerned, but yeah.
No, I mean, so is it more concerning then that this is kind of the second time he's publicly really talked about it? Like, you can kind of see the undertones that he's saying out here. And I don't know if it's him maybe trying to send a message to the team through the media or whatnot. But it's kind of weird now that twice he's like, yeah, I want to win. And now it's weird, right, when, you know, guys wish they would have won earlier and say they waited too long and how it impacted them. And you don't want to have those regrets. Like, look, you're right. This isn't a new message, but it is the same, the second time that he's kind of put this out there.
Right. That's a little concerning. But you know, is the media going to him and just asking these things and he's having to come up with answers? Or is he, like you said, trying to send a message to the team?
Oh yeah. I mean,
by going through the media.
Yeah, it's probably a bit of both here, too. I mean, like, people get, like, mics shoved in their face all the time and basically right. Get put on the spot to answer questions. You see it with, like, actors and stuff. It was when Bryan Cranston was like, yeah, Harvey Weinstein, or it was when it was about Kevin Spacey. He was like, yeah, Kevin Spacey can redeem himself. And it's just like someone forced him to say this stuff. So what's he supposed to say, kind of?
Yeah.
But again,
yeah, and
same time, it's still a concern.
Though, yeah, but I mean, the thing is, though, really all you can tell that he wants to win, and he wonders if he can do it here. That's the biggest thing.
Of course, yeah, that's the biggest thing. He wants to win, and the Pelicans better put a winner around him. It's kind of as simple as that. I've mentioned this on the podcast before, and I'm sure everyone's heard it by now. Like, he really wants to leave a legacy and go down as one of the best players, and you got to do that by winning. And then Rachel Nichols asked him and said, you know, is just making the playoffs good enough? And he said, no. He goes, I did that once before, and no one talks about it. Like, everyone's kind of forgotten that he was in the playoffs at this point.
Or if they do talk about it, they say, oh, well, he got swept by the Warriors. That's it. That's his legacy.
Yeah, like, what's
so he definitely wants to improve that, and I can see why.
Yeah, no, win a game. That's an improvement. I think he wants more than that, though. But so he says, you know, take it year by year and see where this team is going, meaning it sounds like he's content right now, and he seemed to really be happy with the team this year. He said in the same interview that, you know, he thought they had a real good chance at the NBA Finals because at that one point they were just playing unstoppable basketball.
And they were. I was at the Rockets game where Boogie unfortunately went down. And, in that game you saw flashes of what they could be. They were on a winning streak. They unfortunately had that ended the winning streak. But he has a kind of a point in that they were maybe not unstoppable, except because, you know, the people who were stopping them were themselves. But they
won four straight games and beat, you know, the team with the best record in the NBA currently. Like, you've got to feel good.
And they still have the best record, and they still could go on to win the title. And if you look at the other Rockets game where I don't think even Davis played, it was a good game. It came down to the last few minutes. It's definitely a change, I think, from what we've seen in the past. If he's taken it year by year, then this year is definitely something to look forward to, like, for next year. The team's already bolstered with Mirotić on the roster. You know, Hill, if I don't know what's happening with Solomon Hill, but he's going to be on the roster most likely next season. That's another piece. Maybe it's not to the caliber of the talent level of the Warriors and Rockets, but it's certainly not something that he's not, like, if he wants to leave a legacy, if he wants to get to the playoffs and wins games, he could do it with this team, you know?
Yeah, and also, like, if he's talking about kind of where this team is going, the direction they want to go in, he's got to be happy that, look, they're trying to win. They're not trying to tear it down, tank, and rebuild and bring in young talent that's, you know, by the time they're ready to help him, he's going to have played 10 years in the league. He's got to be happy with, you know, the spending. They're kind of poised to be in the luxury tax next year, even if they won't spend it this year, which is fine. Like you said, there's going to be a better roster, and if he's this close with DeMarcus Cousins, as I think we all know he is, you know, maybe he doesn't want to leave. You know, I think this is just kind of one of those things. Maybe, like you said, he got a microphone shoved in his face, so he talked about it. And at the same point, he's not really, like, if I were an NBA player, I'd probably feel the same way he does. Like, I would want to win basketball games too. That's, like, why you do this.
Obviously. But yeah, it's, if you look at the roster next year, like, they're building around him. You know, if you go to maybe Boston, you're going to probably be mentioned in trade talks for the next 3 years, you know? The only trade talks coming here are coming from other cities. They're trying to build around him here just as he's trying to win here. The city has embraced him at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like he's genuinely happy here and everything too. But, like, again, it is a bit concerning that he said this twice now, which basically just kind of
a little,
you know, says what we all thought. The Pelicans have, like, very little margin for error when it comes to Anthony Davis. And, like, at any point in time, they really screw up, like, it seems like he'll then be gone. He's not going to wait around, and as long as you're doing right by him, which this team is trying to win, he'll stay. But if they don't, or they stop winning, or whatever happens, it sounds like that's when he's going to maybe want out.
Yeah, and I mean, they are at least trying. You could see that. And I think that's one reason why he's trying to stay and win with this team, is because he knows that they're at least trying to win with him. They're not trying to build for something else. And I think, like, you know, many other, you've seen a bunch of stars traded. Carmelo Anthony gone. You know, Kyrie Irving, different weird situation, but he had to leave. Paul George, they could tell that they weren't building around him. Different teams, but we're building around Anthony Davis, the Pelicans are. And so if it doesn't work out in maybe like 2 years, I could see, but you can't say they didn't try.
No. Well, okay. So is you know, sometimes the end result matters too. Otherwise, I don't think people would be giving Fergie a hard time about the, you know, the national anthem. She tried to do it differently, and you got to respect that. It just didn't land and fell very, very flat. But at least she tried, right?
Oh, I mean, see, the Pelicans are trying to do something good. I don't know what Fergie was trying to do.
She put herself look, it was a terrible anthem. I don't think there's any disputing that. Like, it didn't work. But you got to give people credit for at least trying to go and do something different. And also, the national anthem is not an easy song to sing. It's like with Del Demps, though. There's an analogy here. We can try and make this connect and work, where he went with the young vet strategy instead of building through the draft. The strategy wasn't the worst thing. It just didn't work out in the end.
Because of injuries.
Well, there's like a lot of reasons why.
There's a lot of reasons.
Injuries are a big one. There's no doubt about that. But like, there's a lot of reasons why that it all didn't work out.
It basically ended this season.
Yeah. Well, injuries ended this season. We don't disagree with that. But I don't know if Eric Gordon was ever going to play to the level that he played up that he's playing at in Houston here. And you know, things like that, I think, are big issues. Part of that was injuries too. But I mean, at times, he's not playing like – sometimes it's fit and system and, you know, no one's running what the Rockets run. So I think that's part of it too. Like, Tyreek Evans was never going to shoot threes like he's shooting in Memphis right now here.
It's – I don't even want to talk about how mad that makes
like,
me.
But like a separate discussion for another time of how well former Pelicans are doing around the league right now. Like Marco Bellinelli was the main guy at like the buyout market.
Yeah. Oh, it shows that the players he was trying to get, Del Demps, was that they were good.
There's some indication probably in there for him. But at the same point, you got to put those guys in a situation. This is like an entire different discussion. We are focusing on Davis and trying not to freak out about these comments. But so you agree, it's basically the Pels need to keep doing this properly and basically have to keep mortgaging the future, maybe, because if you don't, you can see maybe Davis is going to eventually want out.
They're not going to get a better player than Davis or Cousins in the next 10 years. You definitely try to build as much as you can around him and try to get as much success as you can around him. And like we were talking about, you know, the results matter. And if the results don't match up to what they were trying to build for whatever reason, be it injury or whatever, potential not, you know, shaping up to what it could be, but at least you need to do everything you can to keep Davis here and happy, and Boogie too now, because we're not going to get another player of his caliber.
Even
in the next 10 years
of his caliber, they're likely not going to draft someone at that, which is likely what he's maybe going to come back
as. With you that he should be re-signed.
Well, they're going
no matter like take the max deal.
They're going to bring him back. There's no reason not to. I think you can see like kind of the writing on the wall with one how the way these two act with each other. And also, again, it's if you let him go, it's not like you have the $18 million that whatever he's counting against the cap this year to spend. So there's no point in it. You know, it doesn't help you. You may as well keep talent.
And even
on
if
the
you
team.
Did have that much, who's coming here?
No, they're not a free agent destination. They're not a free agent destination in almost any real in football either, where it's like, oh, I want to go play in New Orleans and live in New Orleans. I've talked to NFL players and former NFL players about just that. And like, no one gets excited to come necessarily live in New Orleans if you're an athlete who's rich. It's just a fact, unfortunately.
Which I don't really agree with them, but that's another different discussion.
No, it is. Look, there's no other place I want to be at. I just remember getting in this argument on Twitter one time, and someone's like, yeah, we have celebrities here too, like Los Angeles, and then pointed to Harry Connick Jr. as like a draw for athletes. And look, I like Harry Connick Jr. I think the dude's pretty awesome, actually.
His show just got canceled.
Oh, never mind. He's a charming, charming man. But at the same point, you think like basketball players are like, hell yeah, let's go to the city where Harry Connick Jr. like spends part of his time. Like, no, like it's not how it's going.
It's a real selling point.
Yeah. Roll out like Harry Connick Jr. in the meetings with like free agent. Like, you're not going to sell anyone on this. They're going to probably think he's like the son of the owner. All right, Jason, as we're going to end there. So thank you for joining. Let everyone know your Twitter handle.
All right, Jason Quiggs on Twitter. I just talked a lot about Dell Demps. My on Pelicans.com. Go read that.
Yes, go read everything on LockedOnPelicans.com. Okay, Jason, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
So before we get to the next part of the Anthony Davis interview with Rachel Nichols, and I'm going to bring in on Luis Corzo talking about that. He's also a writer over at LockedOnPelicans.com. Don't forget, I was hosting the Locked On NBA podcast today. Going to be doing it every Wednesday with John Corrales of Locked On Celtics. We kind of just went around the Western Conference, did a quick recap of the seasons, how the playoff race stands right now, who we think is the best team in the Western Conference. Might actually be up for debate. So make sure you tune into that every single Wednesday where John and I will be hosting the Locked On NBA podcast. And joining me now to break down the second part of that interview with Anthony Davis and Rachel Nichols, I've got Luis Corzo, writer over at LockedOnPelicans.com with me. We're bringing everyone on today. You can find him on Twitter at PelicansReddit. So you've got some thoughts on the second part of what Anthony Davis said. So why don't you share what he told Rachel Nichols and kind of what your take on that is initially?
So basically what I kind of take umbrage with is that he said that he needs to find that like Russell Westbrook mentality. And it's really interesting that he said that because I find that like one of like the biggest issues that a lot of us have with Anthony Davis is that he's not really assertive enough. Here at times, and it's really interesting that that's like the player that he picks, because I don't think you can say Russell Westbrook ever disappears in a game. If anything, like Russell Westbrook is too into the game.
I mean, there's a reason no one thinks OKC is like has a shot to win a title here, and I think like part of it is, as much as I love Westbrook and he's an amazing player, like there's an issue there or something, right?
Well, the other thing is, the other side of that coin is that like they're gonna make noise because he is going to will them like, as much as he can. Like, he will drag them kicking and screaming to as far as he can, like by himself. And like, maybe that's a function of like the ball. Like into the post. And like we're just screaming all on Twitter, please find somebody that can give him a pass. And like, that's when he kind of disappears. And I don't know if he can do the Russell Westbrook thing. Like,
I mean, I don't know. I kind of think he might be able to. You've seen his right after the DeMarcus Cousins injury, his shot selection tended to be more like those long mid-range jumpers, which we've seen in years past, but haven't seen this year. And then over these past three games on the three-game winning streak, dude's averaging over 41 points per game. Like, he can clearly kind of hit a gear and just score like nobody else.
Yes, he can. He can. And I think that's the thing, right? So he can, but he doesn't do it often enough. And like, I think it was David Locke when he was interviewing, because I'm a company man, of course, when he interviewed, cleaning the glass. Ben Falk. Variance on Anthony Davis and like how he has like some of the worst variance where like his good nights, and like we know some of that is the injuries that like he'll come in, gets hurt in the first quarter and doesn't play, and I'm sure like some of it has to do with that, but like that's kind of concerning that you hear that, oh, like David Locke is tracking this and like looks around the league and is like, oh, Anthony Davis is one of the worst players at this, where like his night to night isn't spectacular.
Yeah, like which I think is fair, and like you said, some of it's injuries, but we've just seen him like not mentally in there, right?
Yeah, especially, I mean, like, yeah, definitely post DeMarcus, like, he looked checked out. He looked as checked out as we did.
Like Mopey Zoolion?
Oh, 100% Mopey Zoolion.
So, yeah, so that happens, but you think, so is it, do you think he just isn't capable of hitting that Westbrook gear?
I don't think he can do it enough, if that makes any sense. Like, maybe he can do it for the next, you know, 25, 30 games and, like, drag the Pelicans to the playoffs. It could happen. I won't put that up. Like we've seen him, like you said, we've seen him like hit really high ceilings, but I don't know if he can do it tonight. Also, like another thing that he talked about is that like he talked with Rachel Nichols. He talked about like how what he has to do. He has to play, you know, a ton of minutes a night, hit 40. Like that's like none of it. He didn't sound excited about it. He just sounded like it was going to be a drag. And like we've seen, like when he looks tired, like he's just done. And like he'll shoot more. The shots start, you know, coming up short. It's just, it doesn't get pretty. happens really fast a lot of the times. And like, we've already felt like he gets run into the ground enough. And I don't have confidence that he could.
No,
like,
I mean,
drag them into the playoff.
That's fair. And I mean, again, it's valid. He's averaging, I'm going to pull it up right here because I don't have it in front of me, but you make a good point. Like, he's talking about how he's going to need to play 40 plus minutes, like basically every game. And he's already had a long season when it comes to minutes. The dude, I know at one point has been in the top 15 for most of the year. I'm not sure if he still is. And I'll try and take a look here, but like, that's a lot of minutes on this guy's legs.
And we're like, look, that's like the big elephant in the room with Anthony Davis is, when does he get hurt? And we know it happens. And like, if that happens, and like, I'm not saying that like it's played, but you just have more of a chance of that happening. Like, there's more times that it could happen when like the longer that he's on the court. And that's concerning. And I think everybody's kind of like waiting for that other shoe to drop. Like, oh, Anthony Davis is probably going to get hurt too. And that, especially when you have teams like Utah that are like coming up, like Utah is insane right now. And like, they were always good. And like, you kind of like thought Kirk Schneider could like get their defense like going, but like the offense was a concern. And like with Donovan Mitchell, they've looked really nice. And it's hard to think that like, oh, that they'll be able to hold off Utah, especially the way they look. And like, granted, they're in the middle of a streak. And so everybody looks good in the middle of a streak.
No, it does. And I think Utah, they're a team I think is playing some of the best basketball I've seen all year long. What, they're on like 11 in a row or something like that. It's basically since Gobert's been back, and that unlocks him. Davis, by the way, is averaging 36.4 minutes per game. Puts him tied for eighth. So, like, that's a lot of minutes. So, do you think it's better not to kind of try and turn him into a Westbrook type of player and maybe save him for potential playoffs, try and get other guys to step up? And maybe even just save AD for next season?
I don't know. I don't know who you – like, let's just say, I don't think Dell Demps or, you know, Gentry, I don't think they're going to say, hey, let's save Anthony Davis for next season. Like, these guys are – they're coaching and GMing for their jobs.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, like, there's jobs on the line, so what do you expect them?
Right. So if you say, hey, they're going to lean less on Anthony Davis, I don't know who picks up that slack. Like, Mirotić, man, like, I don't feel confident in anybody on the roster, really. Like, Diallo's look nice, and, like, admittedly, a lot better than I give him credit for. Like, I've always been on the side of, like, oh, whatever, like, Diallo's nothing. Or not nothing, but he hasn't shown me anything.
There's nothing there yet. I get what you mean.
Right, and so, even this, like, how he's looked the last 5 or 6 games, I think it's just smoke and mirrors, but I thought the same thing about Darius Miller's shooting for like a really long time, and November and December were amazing. So maybe, fingers crossed, that Cheick Diallo can like pick up some slack. I don't see it happening. Like, if I had to put a bet on it, I wouldn't.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's talk bets and predictions here. So do you think Davis is going to be able to carry the team to the playoffs, or is there, you know, do we need to kind of worry here?
He can. I mean, I think he can. I just don't think he has a demeanor to do it. I don't see it. Like, he said it, and I like laughed at the comment because if there's a player that like he's further from like mentality, like in his mentality, it's Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's also easier to kind of take over games and kind of have that mentality as a guard when you have the ball in your hand and can kind of distribute it when you're not doing your thing, which is kind of the opposite for bigs, where you kind of need someone to set him up, like you said in the beginning. You know, there's times when we're screaming, can anyone get this dude to pass? And he can't pass the ball to himself.
Right, and that's why, like, I always have an issue with, like Anthony Davis, to me, he's up there in, like, the players in the, like, ranking players in the league, but, like, I always have a problem putting bigs up there that aren't, like, constantly demanding the ball, in a sense. And, like, Anthony Davis has never been that guy. Like, I don't even want to say leads, but, like, the way he, like, leads is just kind of like, hey, I'm going to do I'm going to take what I get, right? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's never been I'm going to overextend myself or try. And I hate saying that about him too.
No, but I mean, it's but valid. It's just not... If it's like a thing, it's a thing. We got to talk about it. Like, you know, we can't, it's not all sunshine and rainbows as much as I'd like it to be when it comes to the Pelicans. But you're right. Like, this team probably needs Herculean performances from him for the rest of the season to for sure make the playoffs. Maybe you get in without him doing it. And he's not given us anything to really believe that he's capable of going out and giving those Herculean efforts on a nightly basis.
Right. I think like to be like, I think if we boil it down, it's, does he have the talent to do that? Absolutely. 100%. He can do it. He's taken over games before. Does he have the mentality to do it consistently? Somebody like Russell, like doing it like Russell Westbrook. I don't see that ever happening with him. And he can change my mind the last bit of the season, but I don't see that happening.
No, I agree. You know, he's averaging over 41 over these last three, but there's nothing that says he's just going to go, you know, full on gangbusters the rest of this time and kind of blow us away with it. You know, this is a guy who says all the right things, but then at times, if we're going to be really critical of him, and we can, you know, doesn't. I mean, look, this is a guy who talks about wanting to win and leaving a legacy, and then has nights where he disappears. And like, you don't, you know, everyone disappears for one or two games here and there. But Davis just seems to do it, and maybe that's because this is the team we watch more and we don't watch the rest of the league. But like, you don't really have nights where Westbrook just vanishes, or two or three games where Westbrook vanishes like AD does, right?
I think if you think that, looking at like the box score of Russell Westbrook and like seeing like how many shots he puts up, like he will get crapped on for his efficiency, whatever, but like the dude's trying whatever he can. Like, and like to the detriment of that team, or to, you know, bolstering that team up. Like, yeah, that's what he,
with
that's
him,
what he does.
It could go either way. You never know. Again, but you said like his dichotomy is weird because you think they might make some noise in the playoffs. And I look at that team and I'm like, oh, they're not going anywhere. But that's just kind of like the type of player he is. And it's tough to kind of get a read on what his teams do because of the way he takes over those games like that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, with Davis, I think we're all in agreement. Like, we need him to step up and do all of this. And then if he doesn't, this team's not really going to go anywhere. So that's where it gets kind of nerve-wracking and what's going to happen for these final 25 games of the season. So overall, on the day with this Anthony Davis interview where he went over, and we talked about this with Jason in the first segment here, about how, you know, maybe he doesn't want to be one of those guys who regrets not asking for a trade sooner. On, like, the DEFCON level here of, like, the lowest level being a trade of Dante Cunningham for Rashad Vaughn and waving Rashad Vaughn, which no one cares about, to being, like, full-on freak-out mode where DeMarcus Cousins tears his Achilles and is out for the season. Where does today rank on the scale?
I don't care either way about this. Like, he said two things that, like, if you are hoping for an Anthony Davis trade, you are, you know, pinning yourself to, I should ask for, or the question about asking, you should ask for a trade. If you were a Pelicans fan and you're like hopeful that he stays and like that's what you want, you can say, hey, is that they could have been like delusional or not, as delusional as it sounds, that like, hey, with Bogey we had a chance of finals. It's like you heard that, and to have him say that, like you said, he says all the right things a lot of the times, and so if you, but it's what home fans crave. Like, that's what we're gonna eat. We're gonna take that and be like, nope, this is what he said, and no matter what.
No, of course. You could take it either way. It's also one of those situations, Jason and I talked about it, where like when you have a microphone shoved in your face and someone's asking you questions and you're kind of obligated to answer, you end up saying some kind of weird things at times and almost give the person just what they want to kind of get this over with and move on to something different.
Let's talk about that for a second. Because sure. Now this is so traditionally like Woj, on Pelicans Twitter, as like small of a community as that is, we've joked that like Woj doesn't really have Pelicans people. And so like you'll see him put out a hit piece basically on, like we've seen in the past. And this year we got the Anthony Davis interview from him, which was weird. And now we have this Rachel Nichols interview. And like, that's where I think you get the whole like, oh, he's definitely leaving, from anybody that doesn't want him here.
No, well, I said
and
that.
I
said that to Jason, and I was like, is it maybe a concern that this is two public interviews now where he's kind of given this interview, two of them now, where you kind of have these undertones of like, maybe he's not happy?
And like, maybe some of it is, hey, I'm just trying to get, maybe at the end of the day, he wants to stay here, and like he just needs to like, this is how you poke management, right? Like, this is how you can publicly poke management without causing a stir privately. Like maybe that's what this is. I'm not an NBA player, nor do I play one on TV. And it's just, it's weird. It's definitely weird, I think, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
To have these two, but like, it's a superstar that, go ahead.
No, you're right. It's just kind of weird, right?
Yeah, it's been traditionally really quiet. And like, I heard somebody talking about him the other day, and they were like, I don't know what Anthony Davis sounds like. And to a point, like, that makes a lot of sense. Like, he doesn't do a ton. I think we have the Block commercial, we have a Foot Locker commercial, and now these two interviews. Like, that's the only things that I can think of off the top of my head, like, nationwide that he's done. And so maybe that's part of it too, that, hey, I'm getting out there. Like, I'm comfortable enough to get out there. Because I think, especially when he first came into the league, like, you could see that he was a very nervous teenager, like, in interviews. And maybe that's part of it too, is that, like, hey, I have a voice and I'm going to go out and use it.
Yeah, it easily could be. I mean, as we get towards the rest of the season and probably into next year, that's when we really are going to find out, kind of what he means. But I think, so do you agree then, before we wrap up here, that basically the Pelicans have almost like zero margin for error with him now, and you've kind of got to just nail everything going forward?
I think they've had zero margin for error for a while now. Like, I think the Boogie trade was like kind of the saving grace. But like, even after that, like, we knew that, like, oh, okay, so this happens, Jrue Holiday gets locked up. And like, if you're looking at the cap, you see what the problems are. And like, I don't know how you navigate this. I mean, he got Mirotić, like, Deldam's gotten Mirotić, and that was amazing, especially considering what he traded. And yes, the margin for error is virtually nil at this point.
Yeah.
What to do with him?
No, I mean, it's terrifying. And like, at a certain point, maybe you do just kind of have to kind of go for broke to keep him here, because the future without him is terrible. And then the chances of maybe landing someone is nothing good. Or do you just kind of keep mortgaging the future to keep him here, even if it means you're not really ever going to get out of the first round of the playoffs because you can't put enough stuff around him because you keep trading all this stuff and kind of spinning the wheels?
Well, I think it's kind of like this thing. I've been playing around with this question. What do you think they want for this franchise? Like, the higher-ups want for this franchise? Because I don't know. And maybe this is – I'm the oldest of three. Or of four, rather. I'm sorry.
That's probably important to remember, like, the proper number of siblings.
Shout out to my sister, who I just forgot. I was going to say brothers at first, and that's why. Anyways, so I'm the oldest sibling out of four. And so I don't know what little brother syndrome is. Or feels like, but I imagine it's how I feel about the Pelicans when, like, they're being run by the Saints people. Well, and so, but go ahead.
No, that's a valid question, and it just kind of depends on your goals and what you're trying to do and what ultimately this team might do.
Well, and that's the thing. Do they just, I don't know. Like, some nights I'm like, do they, maybe they just want a draw, and like, that's what Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Jrue Holiday give you, and like, so they'll never rebuild, right? Like, if you go in with those three, like, you're an okay team, you're decent enough, like, you could be Atlanta, right, like, in the 2000s, and like, for some people that's fine, like, whatever, or even, you know, Memphis for the last couple of years. Like, if they're going for like a championship, I think the trading Anthony Davis talks should happen. I don't know if that's the goal.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the best way. Just kind of get like the Kings bounty for him, ransom, whatever, and then use all of those assets to kind of do what Philly's maybe done.
Right, and I just don't know. I don't know where they go with this.
I get it.
Maybe that's just because I'm staring at the cap and I'm like, what? I don't see it. Like, maybe DeMarcus Cousins is like a mistake. In all likelihood, like, I think the DeMarcus Cousins signing will happen. I think it could also very much be a mistake, and like, that shouldn't shock anybody.
No, it's going to go either way, and you know, no matter what, I think we're going to get a much clearer idea of the direction of this franchise over, say, the next year to 9 months, where you're going to go into next year, and if you're not winning, maybe AD then is like, hey, not happy here, want out. So could be. So Luis. Thank you for coming on. We probably got to wrap up everything. I've gone long today on the podcast. Let everyone again know where they can find you on Twitter here.
Okay, so I'm on Pelicans Reddit on Twitter. If you want a non-serious basketball discussion about basically anything in the NBA, I can throw out, let's see, what's serious NBA? If you want somebody for, tomorrow's Wednesday? So it's draft day, I think. on the network. And if you want a player, definitely go for Anthony Davis because he will log lots of minutes. That's what I got for you.
That's good insight. Look at just dropping fantasy knowledge and everything on here. So again, man, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Jake.
So in the intro of the podcast, I mentioned there was some Pelicans news, and it came out from Sham Sharania that it sounds like the New Orleans Pelicans are signing guard Walter Lemon Jr. from the G League to a 10-day contract. We'll talk about his game more tomorrow. We'll break it down a little bit more in depth because that could be a guy who has the makings of being an exciting player. But there's going to be some drawbacks from that. We'll talk about all that and more in tomorrow's edition of Locked On Pelicans. We'll wrap up the podcast here. Thanks to my guests, Jason Quigley, Luis Corzo, to come on, break down this Anthony Davis interview. We probably went way too much into it. But I think basically the conclusion we've come to, it's both good and bad. And if you're him, it makes a lot of sense that you just want to win. And this team needs to get it right, kind of as simple as that. So thank you all for listening. Make sure you listen to the Locked On NBA podcast every Wednesday with John Corrales and myself. Broke down the Western Conference. Find out more about the other teams out there. We'll get some good jokes in there. We had a lot of fun for doing it with the first time with somebody. Went over very well. So thank you all for listening to today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. We'll be back with you all tomorrow.